My guest at this time is retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. He is also a Fox News military analyst, and he is one of the leading experts on the debate over how to deal with Iranian nuclear weapons. Over the past few days, there's been ongoing negotiations in Geneva, Switzerland, about a possible deal that would ease sanctions on Iran in exchange for what most folks there would consider to be guarantees that Iran is not using its program to create nuclear weapons. We've also learned in recent days that earlier this year, President Obama, unbeknownst to the rest of the nation, eased some of those sanctions already. As you might expect, some in Iran are not exactly thrilled with the international community trying to rein in its own programs, and the Israelis are not very happy with the United States and others perhaps easing sanctions on the Iranians. First, here's new Iranian President Hassan Rouhani speaking about what he believes is the nation's right to enrich uranium.
For us, there are red lines that cannot be crossed. The rights of the Iranian nation are our red lines. National interests are our red lines, and that includes our rights under the framework of international regulations and enrichment on Iranian soil.
And here's Prime Minister Netanyahu wondering what the rush is all about.
I emphasize that the proposed deal does not include the dismantling of even a single centrifuge. I asked all the leaders, what is the rush? And I suggested they wait, that they consider things with gravity. It is a historic process and historic decision. I requested they wait.
And so we turn now to Captain Nash for his analysis. And before we do that, sir, first of all, happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service to our country.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate that.
This is being couched by some as a major diplomatic breakthrough. This is the international community doing what it should, coming together, finding common ground, and avoiding the specter of a nuclear Iran. Others say this is simply pulling the wool over the eyes of the Western powers who are concerned about a nuclear Iran and in some ways might be making life easier for them. How do you see this?
I think we're once again, because we are tired, we have some domestic political issues here in the United States. The Europeans are dealing with a host of political issues there, and I think the political class is looking for something that they can write off as a victory because of all of the bad economic news that we've been living with and the fact that Afghanistan is continuing to produce casualties. And it's just everybody wants to have some good news to cheer about, quite frankly.
Do you see anything in this deal that would absolutely guarantee that Iran can't produce nuclear weapons? Obviously, a lot of this is incumbent upon the fact that they would be much more open and cooperative with the IAEA, the UN, and other nations and so forth. So do you see reason for optimism that their posture is going to change in any way?
No, I don't, Greg. This is all about appearances. They will appear to be more open. But you cannot do a deal with the Iranians. They are totally untrustworthy. They have been since 1979. They are not changing. They are just wearing down our will.
One of the things we see in a Reuters report here is that under discussion, and I'm quoting now, is a temporary deal entailing a freeze to higher-grade uranium enrichment, which Iran bills as fuel for a medical research reactor, but is also potential material for bombs. And that temporary deal would last about 6 months. During that time, Iran and the six powers would negotiate a permanent agreement aimed at ensuring that none of Iran's nuclear activities could be diverted towards bomb making. The French seem to be, of the powers in this conference, towing the firmest line here, saying that the heavy water reactor should be suspended, the construction there, and uranium enrichment halted to a concentration of 20% to win a relaxation of the sanctions. What do you make of the overall goals here, and do you think the French are on the right track, or is even that giving too much ground?
That is giving too much. They should not be enriching any uranium. Reactors that are used for power, nuclear power, burn 3.5% enriched uranium. 20% is for medical isotopes, and that's what the Iranians are claiming they need. And then you get 90%, and now you're talking weapons grade. They're building a plutonium reactor at the heavy water facility at Iraq, A-R-A-K, not I-R-A-Q, but Iraq, in Iran. So plutonium, you don't use that in power plants. Plutonium is used for nuclear weapons. So the fact that we would allow them to do enrichment is against all of the things, all of the rules, the treaties, all of it. And so once you give in to these people, they won't take a yard, they'll take a mile.
We're talking with retired U.S. Navy Captain Chuck Nash. And Sarah, was just a couple of weeks ago, I believe, that the reports were out that Iran was about a month away from having enough enriched uranium to produce a nuclear weapon. And at the same time, of course, we saw follow-up stories that if that's true, then Israel's timetable for perhaps taking military action to stop that eventuality from happening was greatly limited. So do you think the fact that these powers came together now is designed in part to stall an Israeli activity here?
It very well could be, because the Israelis, Prime Minister Netanyahu, once said that leadership in the absence of a threat is very difficult, but leadership in the presence of a clearly defined threat is a no-brainer. He and the Israelis have been facing a direct existential threat from Iran for many decades, and now that they are on the verge of being able to produce their own nuclear weapons, and what they are not producing and what they are not conducting inside the borders of Iran, they are working with the North Koreans and their research programs. So it's not just static inside Iran. We have to look at what's going on in North Korea, because they are joined at the hip in these development programs.
Captain Nash, in terms of what the president's already done this year, we just learned in the last few days that earlier this year he eased some sanctions. What is the president's power to act on that front, and what do you make of the fact that he did that unilaterally?
And in secret. I don't know. Did the president bother to consult with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and similar committees on the House side, or did he just take it upon himself to loosen sanctions these bodies had put on? So the whole thing is very much up in the air, but it's an imperial presidency. We've seen it with domestic issues. I am, quite frankly, beside myself with this, and I would hope that some of the senior leaders in the Congress would demand explanations, because it does no good to show weakness in the face of a determined enemy. It only emboldens them.
Now, the unilateral actions the president took have taken effect. This six-party effort in Geneva has not actually led to a formalized agreement yet. How do you expect this all to eventually play out?
Unless these things end in failure, where everybody goes back their separate ways, if instead an agreement is reached, it will be an agreement that the West will adhere to, that the Iranians will cheat on, and we will find out when they have a nuclear weapon, when they set off their test device, and then it will be too late.
Sobering news, but that's where we are. Captain, thank you very much for being with us.
You bet, Greg.
Captain Chuck Nash, U.S. Navy retired. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.